Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Anything. welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris. And today's show is about women who aren't smart in relationships. But first, I need to thank all my listeners, north to south, east to west, all global listeners in the 28 countries that's tuning in. And I want to thank my co-host, Chris Michael Ward, who's able to return after dealing with loss. And also our special guest, she's not only phenomenal, but she is beautiful. And my guest, Jacqueline Charles, is here. But let me say hi to Chris real quick. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. It's so good to be back after 2 weeks away. I'm so glad to be back.
And you have been missed, baby. Sure you have. So let's welcome our guest, Jacqueline, because this sister is phenomenal. Everybody got a story to tell, and she has many, like a lot of us do. But tonight, we need to pinpoint the things about relationships that people just aren't smart with, and they wonder why stuff is what it is. So, Chris, I'm going to let you ask our guest her first question.
All right, Jacqueline, my first question is, how long have you been an expert in on relationships?
Over 15 years, and I am married 30 years.
Wow. Well,
before people come at me, I'm married 30 years. I'm happily married, and so I want people to know I'm not one of those fly-by-nights. I've only been married once. This is my only marriage, so it's not like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a serial marriage person, so mm-hmm. I got my stuff. I got it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome.
But you know something, Jacqueline, you know, everybody can be expert at certain things. If you do it long enough, you know, you kind of learn, you know. And I'm sure Chris, I can get him back here and show what he's an expert at, because I know he got some stories to tell as well. But as far as you're concerned, tell me, when did you start having your first dysfunctional relationship that created the biggest impact in your life? Because all of us, including me, whether you were a young teenager or whatever, everyone had that one relationship that kind of changed your mindset. When was your first eye-opener relationship?
Let's go back, because, you know, I'm all about transparency and all that kind of stuff. And I think I attribute this for being raised by a man. Okay, the only traumatic relationship, and it wasn't traumatic for me, was I think I was 14 and I was dating a guy and he wanted to have sex and I told him no. I wasn't ready to do that. So all throughout my life, I have to thank God, because I was raised with men. I knew how I kind of have that a little bit of testosterone inside of myself, you know, which everyone says that I do. So I can never say that I had that relationship that broke my heart, that broke me. I never had that. And I'm not going to say fortunately, I just never had that. And I wish I did, in a way, to be more like, oh, wow, I was, because, again, I was raised by men in my life. So I kind of, and I had this exterior, so the guys who were coming to me with the BS, they slid on by, they flew on by me. So I didn't have that. I was always that one in the relationship. And I'm not proud to say that I did break a few hearts. I'm not proud of that. It was wrong, but, you know, when you know better, you do better. So some people can say, well, they had that one. I can't say I had that one.
But you're absolutely right about that. If you know better, you do better. You know, and I have a lot of people out here, you know, that want advice about how to know when a relationship is bad, but don't know. And a lot of times I see that people that I've talked to, if they had a dysfunctional father or stepfather, someone raising them, seems like they seek the same kind of person in their relationships because that's all they know. But look, if you're dealing with somebody dysfunctional when you're growing up, that's not the person you need to be with as a mature thinking adult. You know, you should need the opposite. I'm just going to put that out there. And what's your take on that?
Well, this is what happened. This is what most people, this is the thing that I don't like that people say. This is my other half. This is my better half. You don't need to have to be a whole. You need to be whole as a person first. And what women must understand, you have to love yourself. The problem is when women, you know, call each other queen and I love you, you need to know what the definition of I love you is. Because let's say, you know, they have this saying, I want you to treat me how you treat yourself. I don't believe in that. I don't want you to treat me how you treat yourself, because you may not even know that you need to treat yourself in a great manner. So I need to teach you how I need you to treat me. You know what I'm saying? So I think the first thing that people need to do is to discover themselves and love themselves before they think about getting into a relationship. That's why half these women are the low self-esteem issues. They bring the luggage from the last relationship into the new relationship. Women need to start loving themselves more. Once you do that, then start, you can get into a relationship and know what you will accept and what you won't accept.
Amen to that. You're absolutely correct. I agree with you, you know. And Chris, I see you over there. You got your question you're waiting to ask. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, well, first I just want to say, you know, I'm a gay man, and I was with somebody for 11 years, and, you know, he recently passed away, which is why I've been off the show. But I have to say, I don't want to speak for women, but, like, when I used to say my better half, I always said it because you know, we were a lot alike in a lot of ways, but that's just why I said it. But my question is, what's the biggest mistake you think you've made in relationships, Jacqueline?
I've never made a mistake in my relationship. I'm just joking. The relationship,
okay.
The mistake I made in a relationship was not treating the other person right, because they ended up loving me more than I love them. So that's the mistake that I made. But I'm telling you, and it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, love is love. It doesn't matter. So when I'm saying women, because most women, I live in Atlanta, Chris, and Atlanta, I think there's like 10 women to one guy, okay? So, and the ratio in the African-American community is even worse. So I am saying that love is love. It doesn't matter, gay, straight, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
right.
the mistake that women are making and men are making, or again, when I say women, also men, what I want people to understand is, again, I was raised by men, and I understand the difference when you're raised by a man than when you're raised by a woman, because you're taught to nurture, you're taught all of those things. Chris, I'm now starting to learn how to nurture, and I'm going to be perfectly real with that, because I'm the kind of person, like, I can have death in my family, and I'm still going to work, and I'm focused, like men. They have kids at home, the kids are sick, and the wife's taking care of the kid, and they're still going to work no matter what's happening. So I think the biggest mistake that not just me, but I would say women or people in relationship make is they focus on the other person. They don't focus on themselves. When the airplane goes down, they tell you to put the mask on. You got to put it on yourself. So many people love the other person more than like, I'm putting so much into, let's say, my significant other than I'm putting into myself. Or you're putting it into your kids, and then when your kids get to a certain age and they're gone, because what happens is when you're in a relationship and you have children, women focus so much on the children, and the husband's whining, like, what about me? What about me? So when the kids turn 18, and you can look up the statistic, 9 times out of 10, they're gone. When the kids go off to college, there's no relationship anymore. You know, they're gone because there's no compatibility anymore, because the women focus so much on the children.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have a question. You know, a lot of people, you know, growing up, you know, love, you know, trying to find love, trying to figure out what love is, and trying to figure out your place in love. And a lot of times, like when I was in the dating world, sometimes, you know, I kind of stayed in it because I didn't want to hurt that person's feelings, because I saw that person was a nice person. And even though sometimes you're not happy, you know, you find yourself hanging in there way too long. But my thing is, for a person that's out there confused and they don't have no one that they trust to share those things about them that they want to know, because nobody wants to be feeling stupid, you know. A lot of times when you feel stupid about the questions, you kind of keep them inside. Do you think it's best that a person seek therapy so they can open up that channel of dialogue?
You were cutting out. Can you repeat that part, the last part, before the dialogue?
Yeah, I said when people are feeling like they have no one to talk to and they kind of feel stupid in their choices and relationships, do you think that they should seek some kind of therapy so they can talk it out and open that channel of dialogue, or do you think they should just keep it in and, you know, don't really grow mentally because they haven't addressed those questions that they feel too embarrassed to bring up?
Okay, so, and here's the thing. We all have to create a tribe. It doesn't matter who you are. We should create a tribe. And before I go there, women need to stop judging each other, okay? Let's start with that. Let's start judging each other, because if we stop judging each other, what happens is then someone will, our friends or our sisters or brothers will come to you and feel that they're not being judged. So let's say you're with someone who's treating you like shit, okay? And you're afraid to, you're afraid to go to someone because, oh my God, what are they going to say? That's why I tell people, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. Now, in my head, don't get me wrong, I may be saying all kind of things, but I'm not going to say that outwardly. Come on, let's keep it real, okay? I may be calling you stupid in my head, like, dude, he beat you or she's beaten you 5 times, and you're still going back to him? Are you crazy? You don't say that, because what you're doing is so many people want to, they're going to stay with that person to prove you wrong. So what you have to do is be loving about it with a firm hand and give them that guidance. Always have that where you can have that dialogue with your friend. If your friend doesn't feel comfortable coming to you, tell them to go to therapy or speak to someone. Because I don't have any friends, really. I don't believe there's stupid questions. I believe that, you know, and even in my head, if I think, like, are you really asking me that? I'm not going to make you feel that way, because let's say the next question, your life may be dependent on it. You're with an abuser who's beating you, and you don't want to come and tell me. I never want that to be a reason not to come to me. So we need to make our inner circle, let them know that they can come to us with anything. And when they come to us, don't judge them outwardly. Don't gossip about them. Let them feel welcome that they can come to you with anything, but give them common sense answers, you know? Because when people come to you, they know the answers. They just want you to co-sign what they're doing. People know the answers.
Right. That is so true. And, you know, for all y'all listeners out there, you know, when you do have a friend or somebody you care about come to you and they're in distress, don't allow them to go back to that situation. If all they need is the sofa or a blanket on the floor or something, you know, be there. Because like you said, Jacqueline, you're right. Sometimes that could be the last cry for help before they get killed in domestic, you know, disturbances or suicidal because they can't handle the pain anymore. And that's the real talk. And I've noticed on TV lately, they're doing a lot of commercials about talking to their friends who are feeling depressed or going through something. And that just kind of like brought that question to me. So go ahead, Chris. You can ask your question, baby.
All right,
Chris, before you ask that question, you were so right when you said that, because people are feeling, especially now we're in COVID, there's more divorces. People are filing for divorce. People want to break up, but they can't leave because of COVID. We have to make our friends feel comfortable. When people think about suicide, because I've been there, when people think about suicide, it's because they feel like they're alone. They don't have anyone they can talk to. I'm sorry, Chris. I just wanted to put that in there.
I've been there before, too. I almost committed suicide on a trip to Bermuda. Not Bermuda, I'm saying Barbados with my daughter for my birthday, but that's a whole different story. You know, depression can you know, make your thinking be something else, man, depending on what's going on. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, Jacqueline, it's funny that you mentioned COVID, because that was going to be my next question. I was going to ask you, do you think it's easier for people to make mistakes in relationships since we're in COVID, like if they're single and they want to meet somebody, do you think it's easy for them to make mistakes, like out in bars and stuff? Or I was just wondering what you thought on that.
Well, first of all, and I'm going Chris, you asked me a question. I'm trying to figure out how to answer it because the words that were going to come out of my mouth, I don't want it to be censored.
Go
so
ahead.
I got to think how to say it, okay? First of all,
First of all, in COVID,
This it's a blessing and a curse because people die. It's a blessing because now is the time to learn a special language. Now is the time to learn about you, learn about your body, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, now is the time, and I don't mean exercising. Now is the time for you to know who you really are. So my thing is, why are you going to go into why are we in COVID and people going to go to bars? People, if anything, what you need to be doing is let's do video chat. This is a great way for me that I'm thinking COVID is for you to get to know someone over the video. Y'all are talking because, first of all, you're thinking about it, but you're not having sex. So you're removing the sexual aspect of it, and you're developing a friendship. So that's the good thing about COVID because my husband and I, we never lived together. People thought we were crazy. We have like around 15 friends, around us, groups, couples, so that's 30. Out of the 15 couples, right, at least 12 have divorced. The others have separated, and we're the last one standing.
Oh, wait.
So it says something.
Not living together?
We never lived together before we were married. We never lived together.
Oh, okay, I don't believe in that.
Yeah. Girl, you think I'm saying I'm married for 30 years and me and my husband don't live together? Come on now. Come on.
What did she say? I said, maybe I'm hearing this wrong.
No.
But
so
she's
I
right about that, about
living
that one
together.
He asked you about COVID.
Yeah,
you know, this is a way, like you said, to learn about your own self and, you know, to learn about people in a way. You got to be friends first and have a good relationship because it should start with friendship.
Right, it should, but most people, see, this is the problem. That's why, like, in the 1800s or whatever, whenever they had it, you had the courting. People think you need to date. No, dating is wrong. That's how you come at it wrong. You need to court first. This, what you're doing, you're courting 15 other people. You're talking to them on the phone. You're going out on dates, you want to call it or whatever, not dating. And then out of those people, that's when you choose who you're going to date. That's why the statistics are high. That's what I'm telling. People can't come at me. They got Steve Harvey out there, been mad 99 million times, and he giving relationship advice. Go sit your behind down. I don't like when men are giving relationship advice to women because, first of all, you're not credible. Okay, and that's just, and I'm saying it, you're not credible. I'm not listening to advice from someone who's been married 4 or 5 times. I mean, divorced and all. No, you can tell me what not to do. You can't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
A lot of women love that guy. So it's funny to hear women speak out about him because you know a lot of his viewers are women.
They love him because he's doing the step it, fetch it stuff. They love him, and they love all that he has to say, but they're not looking at it. His first wife talks about every woman he's had, and I don't care. They talk about he had an affair on them to whatever, whatever. And I'm not here trying to dog him out, but what I'm trying to say is I'm speaking up. So you can't give me advice on relationship when you've been married, 4 times? Or something like that. You can't. And these women are listening to him, and half the women that are listening to him are single women. And let's see how many of these single women got married from watching, because he talks about relationships. And I promise you, ain't none of them married after they listen to his stuff and think like a man, whatever woman. I hate that show. I hate that video or that movie. Ooh, don't get me started on him. Oh, Lord.
He's talking a lot of information, writing books and all this other stuff. But you know, sir, you got to be a good example because all those things you said should have been done. You should have done them. But you know, on that note,
well,
I'm going to do a little small break and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Okay.
I've never felt. It's kind of hard for me to explain her personality in everything. Brings me to my knees, oh. She shines me up like gold on my arm. I wanna take it slow, but it's so hard. I love to see her face in daylight. It's more than just our bodies at night. But she's really tempting me, oh. Do you think I'm being foolish if I don't rush in? I guess it's death that she might be it, that the love is real, that the shoe might fit. She might just be my everything. She's beyond, beyond space and time in the afterlife. Will she have my kids? Will she be my wife? She might just be my everything and beyond. I wanna bring her round to meet you. Thinking like a candelina. I know that grandma would have loved her like she was her own. She makes me feel at home. Oh. Do you think I'm being foolish if I don't trust her? I guess it's just that she might be. That the love is real, that the shoe might fit. She might just be my everything. She's beyond, beyond space and time in the afterlife. Will she have my kids? Will she be my wife? She might just be my everything and beyond. I give up, I'm in love, try.
Don't come to me crying if I give you advice and you don't take it. They already know. Don't come back to me. And I wanted to touch on the black churches. They're the number one reason why we have these single women in the churches, because I don't understand why the pastors are not doing church socials. They want single women in the churches because the single women will tithe more. They'll cook the chicken, they'll cook the fish, they'll take care of the pastor. So the churches also are responsible for these single women that are out here. Okay, they perpetuate the issue. I tell you, wait till this book comes out. I'm gonna light the church up.
That's a good point, though, because, you know, I see it all the time. And a lot of these single women, they want to please the minister. You know, they feel like the closer they are to him, the closer they are to God. But no, it's your service. It's what you do, how you get to Christ, not what you do to impress that minister. But, you know, you're so right, darling. And I see that I have a caller on the line who has a question. So I'm going to open up this mic, Jacqueline. Caller,
sure.
You can ask the question now about this.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How you doing? So the question, women aren't smart in relationships. What's the general consensus amongst the people on your show or the people who have called in would be the major symptom of a woman who's not especially smart, especially good in a relationship?
Well, the consensus is talking to women. They were brought up in a dysfunctional household. They did not see what a good relationship looks like from home, from a role model. So they didn't have something to set an example from. So when they're in a relationship, it's almost like they're winging it. And the other issue is those who are, like, I'm married 30 years. I have a mentor. They're married 50 years. That mentor has someone who's married 70 years. So we don't seek out, just like when your mileage, people don't think that you need to have mentors in relationship just like you have business.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back to the village to find out, hey, he's doing this, how should I do? We need to have mentors in relationships as well.
Mm.
But you know something, I want to jump in on that. You know that I want people to understand that people who have been married for long lengths of time, you know, because in my church I would talk to people who have been married, like you said, 60, 55, a whole lot of years. But one thing that I found to be true, all of them said it wasn't easy. All of them said there was some major stuff that could make somebody get up out of a relationship, but they hung in there. And to me, that's the main thing. If you kind of love that person, there's going to be some ups and downs. You got to hang in there. Keep it together, because you can't just get mad first time somebody messes up and it's over. But to have that
longevity,
mm-hmm. you got to work through it.
Basically, it's a microwavable society. And here's another thing. When you're married a long length of time, you need to have some single friends, because you got to know how to drop it like it's hot. So you got to be able to know what's going on, and, you know, because you don't want to have something stale. So it's good to hear a newlywed, listen to their standpoint, someone who's dating, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think the gentleman caller had a question that I think I interrupted him.
Well, I agree that it would be very helpful if people did have good mentors, so that they could learn from the shoulders that they're standing on, so that they could have a good relationship as well. But what's always bothered me is that when you had stated that there were people who didn't have good mentors, good examples, and therefore, as a result, they didn't really know how to have a good relationship, a lot of psychologists agree with you. And I've always said to myself, after reading about this and listening to this, I've always said, I don't quite understand that, because all of us need and like to be liked, appreciated, respected. And I can't see people why they would stick out, hang out, be in, continue with bad relationships. I'm a person that all you got to do is just show me a few times that you are, regardless of whether you're a male friend or a female girlfriend, that you're somebody who's going to be difficult, somebody's not going to show me consideration, somebody's going to give me a hard time, perhaps for the sake of having a hard time or because you have your own particular neuroses. You're gone. I'm out. Goodbye.
Yeah, but you're a man. You're a man, and you don't see from a woman's aspect, it's totally different. Most women will stick it in, and especially if they see, and I'm with you on that, but a lot of the studies that I've done and people that I've talked to and polled, they're going to stick it out no matter what, because some women believe that this is the best that they can get, and nobody else, and God forbid if they have one or two children for the person, nobody's going to want them. Because think about it, when there's a divorce, I'm not going to say very rarely, the children are with the mother half the time. So the man can go out there and date and do whatever he wants to do. You know, but when you're going to date the cow, you got to get the calf as well. So I definitely agree that I'm not going to stay in a relationship, but I want to be open to people who are staying in a relationship. And it boils down to self-esteem. That's what it boils down to, self-esteem.
Well,
and no one who can, you know.
I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I called the show a few weeks ago, and I told the host, huh?
Is this John?
Yeah, my name's Joe. Right, I called a few weeks
ago.
I
know something like that. How are you doing, darling?
Hey,
yeah.
How are you?
Yeah,
how are you?
For you.
good. Then you're going to remember the recommendation that I had about taking out a piece of paper before you get into a relationship.
Exactly.
Right, in order to write down, hey, the male host, hi, to write down what you like about each other, what you dislike about each other, and see if both people can agree to those particular terms. If you say that you can, then you really, really should. If you feel that you can't, you should talk more about it. Because as I told the hostess and the host, and the guest, and the host, the two hosts, as
Terry,
I told both,
that's Chris.
Yeah.
Terry and
hey,
Chris,
Chris,
yeah.
Hey. As I told both of them, you gotta find out. You should find out early. And if a person says they're going to do something, but they don't do it, I consider them liars, and even though they may have been very...
That's harsh.
Well, it may be, but let me... But here's why. Let me tell you this. If you, for example, tell me that you can come home and fix supper every night, because even though you're working, and then after about 3 or 4 months, 5 months in the relationship, you start slipping on that, and then you start giving me excuses, even though the circumstances haven't changed except your desire not to do it, then you've lied to me. You've said
First of all, it should have been you saying that you – don't put it on the woman. You should be saying you said you're going to be fixing the food, and if you don't, then you're the liar. See, sometimes things happen. When I hear people say – because I hear a lot of people come to me because I do consulting, and they tell me, well, he lied to me. We need to figure out why that, and I think that's harsh. We need to find out why that person is not doing it.
Here's
maybe
why it's not.
Both.
Let me can I interrupt? Because you've
only got
a few minutes
left.
It's because I said while I was just explaining that is that if the circumstances have not changed, so if everything is the same, except, like I said, except for her desire not to, she's a liar. Now, if circumstances have changed, then we talk about it.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
But you didn't hear me say that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a problem men and women have, is the communication. We don't hear each other.
Are you married?
No.
Okay. Next caller.
No, nope, not next caller. Common sense and
next
logic.
Next caller. Are you in a relationship? No. Okay, next caller. Thank you.
No, not
next caller. Anybody else on the line?
You mean I have too much logic for you? Okay.
No, you don't have too much logic, dude. I'm married 30 years, and I coach people into marriage. So it's not that you have too logic, and I'm not saying you're dumb or whatever. It's not that. But to say that someone is, and I hear what you're saying, but I think you're too harsh. And maybe, my brother, that has something to do, and you may say, well, I choose not to be in a relationship. That's good, but it may have something to do with how you're thinking, where it's not white or black. There's some gray areas. And like, the host said, of course, it's hard. you know, relationship is not easy, but you, when you're talking about writing down, we're in a microwavable society. Who in the hell going to be writing down paper? What
well, then
people
those people better learn. Those people better learn how to write and read.
No, no, I didn't do that with my husband.
Very few people do, but it's a very good recommendation because in a microwavable society, people always say, well, I want it done my way, this way, now. No, you're right. It's a little bit of work involved in relationships. But if both people have the same values, and theoretically, most Americans should have the same values about showing your partner, the one that you love, the one that you say is most important to you, you have to show them consideration, support, respect, and that's supposed to be a mutual thing. Now, if it's not being a mutual thing, and if you're talking about it and the person still doesn't want to give you what they say they're supposed to give you, and they've agreed to it, you kick them out the door.
Dude, you don't know what you're talking about. Because let me tell you something.
Yes, I do.
It wasn't like that, dude. It took us a while to realize this is what, because not everybody comes ready-made. It takes a while. So what you're saying is if my husband did what he did, meaning not doing what he was supposed to do, or me, we would have been broken up. It takes a while sometimes for you to understand each other. Because remember, we didn't live together.
Then you invest in
so
it.
Then you invest that while.
But when people don't. See, what you're saying to me is that look at this. The girl says that she's supposed to do something, but she hasn't done it now.
Not the girl. See, that's what you're making a mistake.
Or the guy. If the guy says the same thing and doesn't live up to the bargain, then she kicks him out. Again, you're
not
listening.
I'm not saying that.
Huh?
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't say you said that. I am saying that if both people, adults, people supposedly who have intelligence, people supposedly have some sort of moral compass, people supposedly who know what they're talking about, if they sit down and before they get into the relationship, they agree upon certain boundaries and they agree upon what's likable, what's not likable, and the deal changes, that's an agreement. That means they went into the relationship with their eyes open. And if with their eyes open, they decide to violate the agreement, especially like I said last time when I was on the show, I give a person about four chances, one chance more than they deserve.
Oh, wow.
And then they're gone.
That's why you're single, because I violated so many times, and I'm still here, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, you may be, and you may be giving advice.
No, dude. It's not maybe, I am. Let's correct that.
You know, and you know how many marriages have been together for 30, 40, 50, 60 years are as unhappy as hell?
I wouldn't know about that because one of the things is that my husband and I agree on, we're not going to be together just to say we've been married for 30 years because
if you're counseling people, then you should know about it, okay? That is your responsibility.
No, we're talking about me. We're talking about me,
I
Jackie,
know. You're talking
said,
about
right,
you
talking
and
about
your relationship,
people.
And you're saying you've been together for a while, and the mentors, they've been together, and presumably they've been happy. But there are plenty of people who have been together for 20, 30, 40 years and are unhappy.
True.
The purpose of marriage is not to be unhappy. The purpose of marriage is to be happy with each other. And if they're not...
But I need you to work on yourself, though, because you still sing.
Everybody has to work on
themselves. It's not like you're a little rough.
Well, that's your interpretation. But here's the thing.
You give them four chances. God gives you 70 times 70.
Well, that's
you
fine.
Only give people
I'm
four
not
chances.
God, and I'm as perfect
Lord
as a human being. I'm as perfect as a human being can be. So.
Well, I'm glad you like being single. But next call,
yes, I do.
Because this man is just, Lord have mercy. Because if everybody listened to him, they would
then
be single.
Then everybody would say to themselves, you know what? I got to tighten up. I've got to fix me because I am not going to take advantage of my partner. That's what people would say. That's the purpose of having boundaries and living up to them. You do not let other people believe that they can do whatever they want simply because the other person is very patient.
I agree because I'm not letting nobody walk all over me, and I'm not going to walk over
and
my
there
feet.
You go.
I'm not doing that.
And I'm also
saying?
Not
but
saying
it,
that if you, let's say you violated the agreement four times in 20 years, you're going to go. If you violated it like four times, I said 7 months or so. Remember that? You didn't listen to me.
I just want to let everyone know.
Thank you, single man.
You're welcome, Ms. Married Woman.
Okay. Yeah. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And we're down to seconds. We're running out of time. I want to thank our guest, Jacqueline Charles. And next week, Linda is coming. And we're talking about romance down in the dirty. If y'all want to get down here next week, we want to do this thing. So thank you, Joe, for your comments. Always
sure, I should have called in early. I'm going to call in early next week if I remember.
Okay, do that because
awesome.
We broadcast
awesome.
7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, 5:30
okay.
Mountain.
Everybody have a good
we
weekend.
8 seconds left. Y'all be blessed, and thank you for being on the show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.